This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Lim Soo Ann and T. Sharik in the studio with me today. So a couple of stories as always for you today.
So first up, more than a month after the novel coronavirus outbreak was reported, the virus and the disease now have official names. So if you haven't heard what these are, you know, you want to stay tuned to our segment and we will be discussing the process and the meaning behind the names and why it's important that we have official names. So during a press conference in Geneva yesterday, the World Health Organization's Director General, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus announced that the disease caused by the new coronavirus now has an official name. So if you haven't heard about it or you haven't seen news reports on it, here's his announcement and the reasoning behind it.
We now have a name for the disease, and it is COVID-19, and I will spell it COVID-19. CO stands for corona, as you know. VI stands for virus. D for disease, so COVID. Under agreed guidelines between WHO, the World Health Organization, the World Organization for Animal Health, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, means WHO, OIE, and FAO of the United Nations, we had to find a name that did not refer to a geographical location, an animal, an individual or group of people, and which is also pronounceable and related to the disease. Having a name matters to prevent the use of other names that can be inaccurate or stigmatizing. It also gives us a standard format to use for any future coronavirus outbreaks.
So in addition to having a name for the disease itself, there is also the virus which has been given a name as well. So the International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses is tasked with formally coming up with the name for the virus, and they've now designated the novel coronavirus as SARS-CoV-2.
Oh, that's a bit more complicated. But this news comes about a month and a half after the current outbreak was first reported from Wuhan back in December, 31st of December 2019. Since then, if you've been following the numbers, you'd know it's infected more than 45,000 people, caused more than 1,100 deaths. But also remember, quite a significant number of those infected have recovered. So more than 4,700 people worldwide have recovered. And, you know, looking globally, the outbreak unfortunately has resulted in cities being locked down, borders being closed, and a lot of travel being interrupted.
Yeah, and during the past month, the virus has been named in various ways. It's been referred to as the coronavirus, but that is the name of the group of viruses that it belongs to. So it was then referred to as the novel coronavirus, which simply means a new type of coronavirus. And WHO gave it the temporary name of 2019-nCoV, but that's, you know, quite a mouthful to say as well. And when reports of the outbreak emerged, it was also called the Wuhan coronavirus, and in some cases, the China virus, which, you know, of course, can further fuel backlash against certain populations. And during the early weeks, the outbreak did cause xenophobia and discrimination, you know, mostly against people of East Asian descent. And that was, of course, happening across the globe. And, you know, here in BFM, our Evening Edition team actually spoke about how outbreaks fuel xenophobia. And you can look that up on our BFM website or on the BFM app.
Yeah. And during that period as well, when we're using that temporary name, the scientists and researchers have all been calling for an official name for the virus and the disease. And this was important to avoid any confusion and any, you know, further stigmatization of groups or any country at all. So this news of, you know, having the disease being named as COVID-19 is quite a very much welcomed one amidst all the sometimes, you know, a bit depressing updates that we've been getting.
That's right. Yep.
And so now moving forward, we will and should be referring to the disease as COVID-19. You know, from a lot of the news articles that I've been seeing as well, you know, it's the term has been quite widely used now. It is also in line with the WHO's guideline on best practices for the naming of new human infectious diseases, but that was actually only released back in 2015.
Yeah. So what are the guidelines that we should follow? According to best practices, the name of the disease should consist of, number one, generic descriptive terms. Number two, it should be based on symptoms that the disease causes. So that's why you see like severe acute respiratory, as well as more specific descriptive terms when more robust information is available, such as on how the disease manifests, who it affects, and its severity or seasonality. And if the pathogen that causes the disease is also known, then it should be part of the disease name. So in this case, coronavirus is part of COVID-19. Actually, you realize that you think a name is so simple, but if you have to take into account all these things, gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, to also recap parts of what Dr. Tedros mentioned as well, you know, the name shouldn't include things like geographic locations. It shouldn't have people's names in it, not also the species of animals or food or cultural, population, industry or occupational references. And last but not least, terms that it should also not have terms that incite undue fears. So for example, saying that it's an unknown virus, it's fatal, or it's deadly. So again, no, it's not as easy as you think it is.
Yeah, and you know, disease outbreaks from the past have shown us how stigmatizing names could be harmful. So when it comes to geographic locations, the WHO has highlighted the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome as an example that we shouldn't emulate. And we should also remember that both the Ebola and Zika viruses are named after places. So Ebola was derived from the Ebola River, which was at first thought to be in close proximity to where the virus outbreak in 1976 occurred. And Zika is named after the Zika forest of Uganda, where the virus was first isolated back in 1947.
You know, and another common practice is naming after animals, such as the mad cow disease, we all know that, swine flu. And in 2009, WHO actually stopped using the term swine flu and instead is now using influenza A or H1N1 because, you know, what we found, what we saw was using swine flu led, you know, for instance, Egypt to slaughter all of its pigs that year, though it was spread by people and not by pigs.
And I think that's where you see it's really important to have a name that doesn't, you know, single out something specific like a species, because then you know people might, you might, I guess already in situations like this you are fearing the unknown, so having something specific like that, it sort of gives you an easier target, I guess, to sort of point the blame at that, even though it might not necessarily be where the blame should be.
Yeah, and all our prejudices against a particular group come to surface, isn't it? You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's, you see, it's the practice of eating animals and dogs. It's the practice, it's poor hygiene, when that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the spread of the virus itself.
Exactly. And I mean, I think it's just a very good, easy excuse for xenophobes to just, you know, show the xenophobia to the world.
I mean, I've personally heard a few people say the new name is a bit boring, but then I guess that's also what you want, right? COVID-19, it's quite easy to say as well, rather than saying 2019 NCOV or NCOV or novel coronavirus. So I guess that allows you sort of a simpler way of identifying the disease as well. And then, you know, people will just be, okay, it's COVID-19. You don't call it the novel coronavirus. You don't specifically call it from a geographic location. So hopefully, I mean, we're seeing a lot more uses of that. Yeah. So from now, moving on.
Yeah, and it's good that it's sort of coming relatively early at the stage. If you think about something like Ebola, Zika, there's no way you can change the name and hope for it to catch on. You know, it's too commonplace already. And before we end, you might also have heard or seen news reports that Dr. Tedros, in that same press conference announcing the official name, he also said that the world must wake up and consider this enemy virus as public enemy number one. And that phrase, public enemy number one, has been repeated in a lot of other news reports. It's been used as in the headlines. It is quite alarming. But, you know, a little bit of context on what he's actually referring to. He said that it's due to the fact that some countries have much weaker health systems that cannot cope with an outbreak of this scale. And it's a reminder that we need to invest to strengthen all health systems across the world. Otherwise, the spread of viruses, especially to countries that have weaker health systems, would really wreak havoc in these countries. And so just a reminder again, it's not public enemy number one, as in it's going to cause, you know, untold number of deaths in everyone. It's more about public health, monitoring and surveillance and you know, just strengthening systems. It's a call to governments.
Yeah, it's also a call, I think, to people to just be better people in that sense. You know, practice proper sanitation. You know, if you know you're sick, you know, go and find out immediately or isolate yourself. You know, just do some good best practices, right? If you're feeling ill in any way. So yeah. I think it's a message to all of us.
Yeah, that's right.
And well, continue to share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. Excuse me, we're going to take a short break, but here's another Public Enemy, Taxman by The Beatles. This is The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.